The following show is closed caption for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
I'll admit it. I almost dozed off during the State of the Union. I do that during reruns. I do. You know how it is. You remember, oh yeah, I've seen this part. Well, it was. There was almost nothing new in that speech, which goes to the point he continually speaks as though he's new to the office. He's like the guy, and I have run into this in my career, and I'm guessing you have as well. He's been with a company 5 some years now and still acts like they like a newbie. Well, I didn't know that. Nobody told me. You've been here 5 years. The guy who did the job before you knew how to do it, he's dead now. And you still don't know how to do it. That's what it feels like to me. We're going to get into this. You think I'm right on, spot on with that? Well, I'm the new guy. No, you're not. In fact, your contract has been renewed for another 4 years. You're not the new guy anymore. Stop acting like the new guy and stop blaming the old guy. All of the things that he said need to be fixed are things he should have been fixing in the last 5 years. Let me tell you what, I'm going to talk about the State of the Union in the next hour, but I took part in a live blog experience again last night at writewisconsin.com, as we did with the State of the State, and someone live blogged something really brilliant. Okay, there was a moment where he was arguing for extension of unemployment benefits, and of course, they personified this. They had a woman who, you know, hard worker, industrious, lost her job. And this is why she's why we need to extend unemployment benefits. And somebody live blogged on the thread that I was on. Say what you will about Scott Walker's human props, but at least he's celebrating that they have jobs. Talking about the welder that had a criminal record. It really is an interesting contrast. What did Scott Walker have? Success. Success. Here are people that have gotten jobs under my watch. And what does President Obama do? What he has done for the last 5 years? Celebrate victimhood because it's somebody else's fault. He sounds like a teenager who's failing in school. Well, it's not my fault. I mean, this, you know, the teacher's a jerk and this and that. And it's the bullies in Congress that beat me up in the hallway, and I can't get anything done, and I can't focus. I'm coming up with brilliant analogies right off the top of my head, I think. Some of the best I've ever had. That's what he's doing. All right, I'm going to stuff that on the shelf until after 10 o'clock. I have a lot more to say about that. And I actually do want to compare and contrast it with Governor Walker's State of the State address. But it was a rerun. There wasn't a fresh thought there. All right, in the next hour. MacIver Institute broke. They actually shared with me yesterday that they were going to be breaking this. They broke this morning on their website, MacIverInstitute.com, what I think is a significant political story in Wisconsin. And it's going to be interesting to see if the mainstream media touches this. Because this is, I don't think anybody can deny, this is a major story. Let me give you an example. When Annette Ziegler was running for the U.S. Supreme Court, remember how very tangential relationships she had on certain rulings, I believe it was involving banks. I mean, it was not a big deal at all. Well, she should have recused herself. This is an abomination. And they quickly play that card when it comes to conservative judges. Juan Colas, I'm assuming you'll remember, liberal Dane County judge Juan Colas is the judge that struck down Act 10 as unconstitutional. You already knew he was a big lib. That is not news. This is a MacIver Institute investigation has uncovered that Grace Colas, daughter of Dane County Judge Juan Colas, works for the campaign arm of the Wisconsin Assembly Democrats. Wait, there's more. Judge Colas has been at the center of the continuing legal controversy surrounding Act 10, Governor Walker's attempt to reform collective bargaining in Wisconsin. Union critics of Governor Walker have called Act 10 an attack on workers' rights, and they have sued the governor in an attempt to have the law rule unconstitutional. Grace Colas's employer, the Assembly Democratic Campaign Committee, regularly receives financial support from teachers' unions and its affiliates that have been parties in the case her father is ruling over. Jason's like, you are making this up. You can't make this up. Let me read that again. Her employer, the Assembly Democratic Campaign Committee, regularly receives financial support from the teachers' union and its affiliates that have been parties in the case her father is ruling over. The Assembly Democratic Campaign Committee gets contributions from the unions who are suing the governor over Act 10. His daughter! And as MacIver Institute reports, to the best of their digging, they have not found any case. Here's how they say it. During his time presiding over the Act 10 case, the MacIver Institute has not been able to find any public record of Judge Colas disclosing his family's connection to the Assembly Democratic Committee. After working for Democrat Jim Doyle at the Justice Department for 15 years, then Governor Doyle appointed Colas as a judge in Dane County in 2008. The Madison Teachers, Inc., the Teachers Union and Public Employees Local 61 in Milwaukee, sued Walker, claiming Act 10 violated their freedom of speech, right to free association, and the right to equal representation under the law. In September 2012, Judge Colas issued his first decision in the union's case against Walker and Act 10. He declared Wisconsin's collective bargaining law unconstitutional, in part because he agreed the law would single out and encumber the rights of those employees who choose union membership and representation solely because of that association and therefore infringe upon the rights of free speech and association. At the time, some critics argued that was a stretch of the limits of his authority as a circuit court judge. Rick Essenberg, constitutional expert and president of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, wrote that Colas conflates the right to organize with collective bargaining. Essenberg pointed out there is no inherent right to collectively bargain. Anyway, so they go on. While the lawsuit was initiated by MTI and Local 61, it has been funded by the Wisconsin Education Association Council and the National Education Association, two big teachers' unions. WEAC has also donated to the campaign of Representative Chris Taylor and to the Assembly Democratic Campaign Committee. According to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign database, Taylor received a $500 campaign contribution from WEAC in July of 2011 and again in May of 2012. The same month, Grace started to volunteer for Representative Taylor's campaign. According to campaign finance documents, Grace began working for the ADCC in June of 2013. On a recent email, Grace listed herself as ADCC finance assistant. The ADCC is the campaign arm of the State Assembly Democrats, committed to electing more Democrats, so on. It benefits financially from union contributions, including the parties to the lawsuit. It has received $172,000-plus from WEAC since 1993, $17,000 from MTI since 2002. 4 months after Grace started at the ADCC, on October 22, 2013, Judge Colas made another union-friendly decision. He ruled that the state commissioners at the Wisconsin Employment Relations Commission were in contempt and could not hold recertification elections for local school district unions. Judge Colas claimed his original ruling applied statewide, not just to the unions that had filed suit. The Wisconsin Supreme Court disagreed. His contempt order was overturned on a 5-2 ruling, and recertification elections were held November 29th to December 19th of last year. Shortly after Colas's October 22nd decision, the ADCC received another union-backed contribution. Green Bay PAC, the political action arm of the Green Bay Education Association, the teachers union here in Green Bay, reported a $500 donation to the ADCC on October 30th, according to their expenditure records filed with the GAB. Now the state's collective bargaining law is in the hands of the Supreme Court. Oral arguments were heard in November. A decision is expected late spring or early summer. The MacIver Institute called Judge Colas's office on Tuesday for comment, but has not received a response. I think this is a big deal. This is a really big deal. His daughter had a vested interest, and that, I believe, is a fair statement. His daughter had a vested interest in his rulings. This is where I have to go back, and it's not just Ziegler. There are others. Where liberals have tried to stretch and say a judge should recuse themselves. They do that a lot on the Supreme Court. A Republican, conservative justice, should recuse themselves for this, that, and the other thing. What about this? All right, this is out there. The MacIver Institute has it. I have it. The Milwaukee and Madison conservative talk shows have it. How long is the mainstream media going to sit on their thumbs on this story? It's Wednesday, January 29th, 2014. We'll keep track. It's 9:18.
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.